husband, and we have someone home recovering from giving birth to a brand new baby boy. So we have a variety of reasons for folks not being here today, but all of them, we're thankful that everyone is doing well and continue to pray for them. And let's pray for ourselves now as we begin to get into His Word. Father, we rejoice for this morning, for another day of life, for allowing us to come together in your house as your children, to praise you, to worship you, to hear your word, and to again proclaim how grateful we are for what you do for us. We pray for our family members who are home, either sick or recovering from surgery or for any other reason that they can't make it here this morning. Watch over them. And let your peace reign in their homes. Let your peace reign in our homes. For us who are here now, we ask that you help us to focus on your word, what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are, the first Sunday after Christmas. Now, I hope that y'all had a wonderful Christmas and that you were able to celebrate it with family and with friends. Like many grandparents in our home, we had more than one Christmas celebration. Since this was not our year to have the grandkids over on Christmas Day, they visited last weekend, so we actually had two Christmas dinners and gift openings. One full out, which was with the grandkids, and the other were a little bit more relaxed, but there were still gifts, so it was still good. And I also hope that there were not too many Fruit of the Loom disappointments, as we spoke about last year, suffered by any of you. That is, unless you're one of those people that looks forward to new underwear each Christmas. I know that when I was a teen, my cousin Juanita would buy me new underwear each year, so it was never a clothing item that I had to worry about. It became a little bit like our inside joke until I grew up and joined the Navy. Now, gifts produce such a big, big mixed bag of emotions. There is joy, disappointment, stress, and gratitude. And that's just naming only four of the emotions we go through in getting gifts and purchasing gifts. There's the ever-present stress of finds us wrestling with questions such as, what do I get this person? What is it that they need? What would they like? And then the big question, can I afford to get them what they would like? There's disappointment. And this comes in at least three ways. One is that we are disappointed that we're not able to afford the gift we wanted to give somebody. There's a disappointment in opening the gift and in not being what we had really hoped it would be. Then there is a disappointment that we can see in someone's eyes that they're actually not very thrilled with the gift that we were able to give them. Gratitude is experienced in at least three ways as well. One is that we're grateful that we're able to get any gifts for anyone at all. That's not something we should ever take for granted. There is a gratitude that we have relationships that we want to give gifts to. And to have such people in our lives is a treasure indeed, so we're already ahead of the curve. Then there's a gratitude for the gifts we are given. And for me, the gratitude is twofold. That gratitude is twofold. One is that I'm grateful for the gift. I've never made no bones about it. I like gifts. And second is that I'm grateful that there's someone in my life that wants to give me a gift. I realize that the joy of gifts sounds a little self-serving, or perhaps it overlaps a little bit with gratitude, but I wanted to list it, the joy, separately. There's no joy like watching a child open a gift on Christmas morning. Seeing those little hands gleefully tearing into a Christmas gift is a joy that cannot be duplicated in any other way, in any other form. There's also a special joy when we open a gift that says, I was thinking about you when I got this. there's a joy also of telling others what it is we got. I'll tell you guys, I got a nice new electric knife sharpening tool. I can also tell you, no, I won't lend it to anybody. So growing up, it seemed that the joy of opening our gifts was duplicated or multiplied when we were able to go out and show our friends what we got for Christmas. Those of us who remember what it's like to be a kid, remember what that was like. I was blessed with a few close friends, and we would gather after Christmas breakfast and gift opening in each other's respective families to show each other what we got. We would gather at a prearranged meeting place and show each other what it is that our families got us. And during this time, we also got to try out each other's gifts and play with what the other one person had gotten. So our joy of our Christmas included sharing our gift with our friends. Now, I acknowledge that sometimes we're given gifts we don't wish to share. Pam and I once got our youngest boy a big jar of Jawbreakers from the Cracker Barrel restaurant, which is this chain in the Midwest that they don't have out here, and he was really thrilled with them. We came into his room one day, though, and discovered that he had that big jar of Jawbreakers deep in his closet. So we thought, oh, I guess he didn't like them as much as we thought he would. But we couldn't help him. We asked him. I said, why is it that those Jawbreakers are in the closet? He said, because if my friends see them, I'm going to have to offer them one. And I don't want to share these. So, there's that. Sometimes it's not too practical to share the gift we've gotten. I never shared the underwear my cousin got me because that's just nasty, you know? And then there are kids who, you know, we have to acknowledge there were kids growing up that we would not let them play with the toys we got because we knew that as soon as they got them, they would break them. However, I like to think that not sharing is the exception rather than the rule. Now, as Christians, we recognize that whatever gift we may have gotten or will get in the future, as wonderful as those gifts may be, cannot compare with the gift we are given in Jesus Christ. In fact, we can look at our gifts as from God as threefold. Think of them as gifts from the Holy Trinity. Three persons in one, given us three sets of gifts. From God the Father, we have been given His Son. And with that gift came freedom from death. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this leads us to the gifts from God the Son. And we're only going to look at a few. We are given eternal life. 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. It is a certainty. We also have a very personal relationship. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We are also given victory in the Son. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56 and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're given forgiveness and redemption in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Transferred. We were once here, we're now moved over here from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of light. And we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there were three lists noted in the New Testament on these gifts. We're going to look at blocks of scripture to get a contextual setting. Now, I realize that the topic of spiritual gifts for the gifts from the Holy Spirit can be a bit of a can of worms, especially given the history of our church tribe. And there are debates if there are 5, 7, 9, 11, 14, or even more gifts. Some scholars will provide a longer list because anywhere they look for any mention of the word gift in the Bible, and then they'll list it as a spiritual gift. One such list by one scholar included the gift of being single. I'm not sure that is a spiritual gift. I mean, it could be that a person is just antisocial or in need of a personality overhaul, and so we can't lay that on the Holy Spirit, you know. Just because the person can't find someone who will love them doesn't mean it's the Holy Spirit's fault. Now, other times, some gifts listed closely resemble other gifts noted. Sometimes how we understand the list of gifts is influenced by the Bible version that we grew up using, because the same gift is referred to in different words. When Pam and I worked in Chile, we had, during this conversation came up in a Bible study, and one gentleman talked about, well, in our church, we have the gift of operations. And they meant they put somebody on a table and somebody would pray and they would do stuff. And we asked them, where exactly is that in the Bible? And he quoted a text from this 1904 version of the Spanish Bible that actually uses the same phraseology as the King James Version, where we read in our modern versions a variety of activities. That version read, diversity of operations. But they understood operations as literal operations. So he argued, and we could not dissuade him differently, that that was a spiritual gift because it said operations in the Bible. So the way they are counted is also dictated by doctrinal bents and theological perspectives. Sometimes people will read it, and even though they read it, they'll say, nope, but my church always believes this, so I can't be reading what I'm reading. So let's begin by looking at the New Testament text, and let's go back to what the Bible says, and instead of relying on our church tradition. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 14. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean? That he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Now, in the Ephesian text, we also are given insight into the purpose of these gifts. And we're going to visit that in just a little bit. Next, we look at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. But more than likely, the one we are most familiar with is from Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Just about any time we have a Bible study or any small group will have a study on spiritual gifts, that's a text that we'll invariably go to. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the one Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are unique skills and abilities given to us by the Holy Spirit, given by the Holy Spirit to faithful followers of Christ to serve God for the common benefit of his people, the church. The gifts of the Spirit are simply God empowering faithful Christians to do what he has called us to do. In other words, God mandates something. He sets a task before us, but he doesn't send us out empty-handed. He equips us for the task he has set to each one of us. As we have reviewed in the past, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are part of the everything we need to accomplish his plans for our lives. Now, the list of spiritual gifts that are listed in the scriptures demonstrate significant overlap and as well as important variations. This suggests that none of these lists taken individually or together is intended to be comprehensive. In other words, each one is suggestive of the diversity of ways that God blesses Christians for spiritual service. Now, there's some dispute in the church as to the exact nature and number of gifts of the Holy Spirit, as I listed, the different lists that we read and people argue about. We're not going to look into the debates as to whether some have stopped or ceased or to exist or not, because that's an awesome argument that we're going to come across in different Bible studies. Although I'm going to confess to you that my understanding of Scripture is that they're all still viable. And that's only because where it says the Holy Spirit does what he wants, lets me know that he gets to dictate, and that not me. So I can't present an academic argument to Holy Spirit that he can't do what he decides he wants to do. Okay, I can't say, no, you can't do that because my understanding of this Bible text says that you're not allowed to. The Holy Spirit's going to say, well, I'm part of the Trinity and you're not. So take that. As he wills it. Now, however, I did want to give a brief summary of how these gifts are understood. Now, it may sound like an oversimplification as I read some of these explanations, but the definition gives us enough to proceed this morning. And it's only meant to help us ponder the wonder of the gifts we're given through the Holy Spirit. Like I said, these are just brief definitions. Otherwise, we could spend here all morning looking at just one. Wisdom is the ability to receive and explain the deep things of God. Knowledge, the gift to have a comprehensive understanding of a spiritual issue or circumstance. Faith is the gift to trust God and to inspire others to trust God, no matter what the circumstances may be at that moment. Healing is the wondrous gift to use God's healing power to cure a person who is ill, wounded, or suffering. Miracles, the gift to display signs and miracles that give credibility to God's word and the gospel message. And prophecy, the gift to declare a message from God. Discerning spirits is the gift to recognize whether or not something is truly from God or in accordance with righteousness. Tongues is the gift to communicate in a foreign language that you do not have experience with in order to converse with those who speak that language. Also listed in 1 Corinthians 14, tongues is listed as something unintelligible. Unintelligible utterances between an individual and God, a prayer language. Interpreting tongues is the gift to interpret the speech and writings of a different language and translate it back to others in your own. And it also is understood as someone who can understand those unintelligible utterances that Paul noted in 1 Corinthians 14. So it's understood both ways. Now, administration is the gift to keep things ordered and in agreement with God's principle. So let's keep that in perspective. The gift to keep things ordered in agreement with God's principles. It doesn't mean how we keep our desk. So you can't walk into my office, look at my desk, and say, you obviously don't have the gift of administration because you use a piling system instead of a filing system. So we have to always keep things in a proper context. Now, helps is the gift of a desire and capacity to always help others, to do whatever it takes to get a task achieved. Apostleship is, there's a bit of debate here, but the general understanding of apostleship is preaching of the word primarily among non-believers. In teaching, the prophet preached or proclaimed, and the teacher explained what the prophet proclaimed. Exhortation is to win Christians to a higher way of life and a deeper dedication to Christ. And an evangelist is a preacher of the gospel, especially empowered by the Holy Spirit. Service, difficult to pinpoint. We get seen as a generalized gift, empowering people to fulfill different functions in the church. Contributing, people empowered to give in a way above others. Someone who gives way above what is considered the norm. And acts of mercy is being merciful with a cheerfulness that is only possible with enabling of the Holy Spirit. Now, some lists will further designate this as giving aid or giving something similar, but as a different gift. It's also sometimes put together with help. So now this was just a quick, real quick Reader's Digest version to give some notion of the gifts we are given through the Holy Spirit when we come to Christ. Now, and as we contemplate these gifts, there are some basic principles I want to touch on as we move forward. One is, and this is very important, we don't get to decide what gift we have. Let's go back to the Holy Spirit as he wills it. Paul clearly wrote that the Spirit gives to each one of us as he wills. In other words, he decides. Also, us saying we have a specific spiritual gift does not necessarily make it so, just because we decided we have it. Years ago, Pam and I went through a week-long training session with about 13 other missionaries when we work with Christian Missionary Fellowship. And during introductions, we were instructed to give our first name and say one thing about ourselves. One person said, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I have the gift of nurturing." And in my mind, I thought, I don't remember that on the list. Maybe she meant mercy or healing. It was one of those rare occasions when I managed to keep my opinion to myself, and I didn't say anything. And however, by week's end, it was evident that her husband definitely had the gift of nurturing. She had the gift of letting him nurture her and take care of her. So rather than insisting on what we say is our gifting, we should listen to what others in the body confirm, what other people see in us. I also wish to point out that the way that the Holy Spirit gives gifts is not to be used as fodder for bragging, for bragging rights. We don't get to say, "I got this gift and you don't, and my gift is better than your gift." It doesn't work that way. There is also, because one, this is key, there is no one spiritual gift that is better than another. Gifts of the Spirit have different roles, different functions. But the importance is the same across the board. They're all given because each one is needed. There's no superfluous gift. There is no spiritual gift given to any member of the church that is not needed. Different roles also mean that just like tools, spiritual gifts have specific tasks, and these tasks may complement other gifts, but they cannot be substituted for them. Complement, not substitute. Let me give you an example. I love the kitchen. And as a guy who loves to work in the kitchen, I'm also very fond of my knives. Ergo, that's why I got a knife sharpener for Christmas. Because knives to cook are very important tools. I also remember that when we first arrived in Chile, reacting probably stronger than I should have. When I saw the housekeeper heading toward the back door with one of my paring knives, about to use it as a screwdriver to tighten a screw that was loose in the door handle. You know, I think I screamed something like, "What in the world are you doing?" And she looked at me like, well, I'm going to go tighten that screw. I said, well, let me get you a screwdriver. You know, no, this works. No, it doesn't. You know? See, someone, let me give you an example with spiritual gifts. Someone with a gift of prophecy. Someone who is gifted to proclaim and explain what the scripture says about something may not be the best person at displaying mercy when mercy is needed. A person suffering the consequences of bad choices in their life perhaps is not in need of a biblical exposition for the reasons that they're in the mess they're in. Okay? Let me tell you why you're in the bad condition you're in. Let me explain to you what the Bible says about the bad choices you've made. That might not be the best moment for them. Okay? They simply need that moment to be reminded that God loves them, that we love them, of God's love. Okay, first we treat the open wound. Then we examined what happened, the lessons learned, and what the Bible teaches us about that. We need to also respect the gifts in others, even when it is not clear to us. I don't mean weird interpretation of dreams or things of that sort, which is something we ran across a lot in South America and we saw abused a lot. However, over the years, I've learned to appreciate the gifts in other members of the body, which have always complemented the gifts that I've been given, and because it's helped me to serve the church better. Okay, and it's the same thing with us. Sometimes we can't ignore the gifts that someone else has because they're helping us out. And when I mentioned some of the emotions of gifts, I made mention of disappointment. I think every one of us at one time or another have felt a twinge of this disappointment when someone opens a gift we've given them, and someone perhaps that we put a lot of thought in, and they quickly toss it aside. Or they let us know that they're looking for a bigger and better gift than the one we gave them. So we could be that ungrateful person when we don't treat the gift that the Holy Spirit has decided to give us with the respect it deserves. You've been given this gift, but that's not the one I wanted. I wanted this other gift. And we may even use the scripture verse that says desire that is greater gifts as a way to justify our dissatisfaction with the decisions God has made. There's some things to remember about our gifts. One is, the gifts have been given, as I stated, for a purpose. They're not given for bragging rights. They're not given to be tossed aside. They're not given to be dormant or to be abused. We find guidance in the scriptures for their use. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14:4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. And in verse 26, what then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. There is a purpose to exhort the church, to build the church, to be a boost to the church. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4, chapter 10 and 11, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Everything is done for the glory of God. When we consider these texts and what we read from the other texts we looked at, we can ascertain that spiritual gifts, one, they are to be enjoyed privately, because some are to be used to witness for Christ, are to be used to build up the church, are to be used to demonstrate God's grace in us, and are to be used to praise God. Thus, we see Paul stresses the practical nature of the gifts. They are for the edification of the church, the formation of Christian character, and the service of the community. See, if we pay attention, we note that none of the texts indicate the gifts are given for self-glorification or to elevate ourselves above anyone else. And also, if we look at the list, regardless if it's 5, 7, 9, 11, 14, or even any one of the ones stretched out ones, as I've stated this before, but I'll say it again, there is no spiritual gift of bench warming. That doesn't exist in the Bible, regardless of how hard we try to look for it. All the gifts are given for participation in the body of Christ, for the glorification of the body of Christ, and for the glory of God. The Bible also points out one key aspects of the gifts we've been given. 1 Corinthians 29, verse 13, 12, 29 to verse 13, 3. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith as so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I am nothing. All the gifts, whatever they may be, are subordinate to love. To demonstrating God's love to our fellow man and to each other. I say this because, and I'm sure others who have been in the church a long time probably say, I remember this. When there have been people who have been very gifted, and sometimes we marvel at their giftedness, but they have a rock in their heart. They have no way, there's no compassion, there's no love for others. And if we can't love others, we really haven't showed them God at all. One of the most convicting posters I ever saw spoke to me because of the history in some of the members in our church, meaning our church in general. It showed two men on their knees in front of the Lord's table. One had an open Bible. And the other one had a hair with a razor, and he was trying to split it. And you could see through the windows in the drawing of the church faces with hunger and desperation and in need, looking, how do I get in there? What's in there? And yet these guys were so focused on splitting that hair that they missed the need around them. Sometimes that can happen to us. When we are blinded by maybe the pride we have in a gift we've been given, or by focusing on the gift we have not been given, or focusing on things that are just secondary to what is most important, demonstrating God's love to the world in desperate need of his reach and his touch. So the question remains to us, how are we using the gifts God has given us through the Holy Spirit? You know, just in case someone is saying or thinking, well, that doesn't apply to me because I wasn't given one. I forgot to bring my buzzer because I wanted to bring a buzzer, and I'd say, that's your answer. The answer is wrong. We have. If a person has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have been given gifts of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says that we repent and are baptized and receive Christ. We are given salvation and gifts and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit without receiving a gift of the Holy Spirit. See, now those gifts may be dormant. In other words, we're not using them. They may be ignored because we don't want to use them. But they are there. Let us focus on the gifts we have. Let us share their blessings with others. And in doing so, when we do so, we bless the church. We glorify Christ and we advance God's kingdom. You know, Jim talked about the end of the year, reflection. Let's think about, you know, it's not too late. Whatever we've done through the year to advance God's kingdom today. The gifts bring with them a serious responsibility. Let us be responsible with what each and one of us has been given. And as I said, receiving the spiritual gifts begins with receiving Christ. If there's anyone here this morning who has never taken that step, speak with me, with Brett, with one of our elders after church, and we'd love to explain to you the difference between being a creation of God and a child of God, and taking that step and to receiving the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior, but currently have no church home, we would love to be that home for you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your gifts. Help us each day to be mindful that we have them. The purpose that we have been given those gifts. Give us the strength and the wisdom and discernment to use the gift in the manner that they have been designed to be used. And in so that we can build each other up. Advance your kingdom. And to demonstrate to the world your love. Your love for the hurting. Your love for the lost. And your love for those trapped in darkness. Help us be a light to them. Help us be faithful stewards of everything you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.